Hi there, folks. My name is NovoWing24, and welcome to another angry, grumpy episode of your favorite simulation podcast, or perhaps maybe your least favorite, I'm not sure, of the Three Grumpy Simmers. And of course, I am here as your host, NovoWing24, and I am joined once again by my fellow brothers in grumpiness. I am joined by the Don of the Helicopter Mafia, Sergio from HeliSimmer.com.
Always the same, hey guys.
I always have to make sure that the Don's introduction is suitably appropriate, because I don't want to wake up with a Jesus nut in my bed. And as well as joining in, reigning out our grumpy trio, we are of course joined by a Tomcat expert, aviator, and the primary campaigner behind the effort to make sure there is a Tomcat in every sim, Drew Belgiode.
Yeah, well, we won't discuss the fact that there's no Tomcat in Aerofly as of yet, but you know what? We did that last time.
We are not going down that rabbit hole again.
No, we're done. We're done with that.
Yeah, you can't then blame me.
I 100% am blaming you, Sergio, for that one. It was totally you. It was totally you. Anyway.
But I will say this, though, just as to tie into your intro, I have had a couple of people tell me that we are not nearly grumpy enough. We're always smiling and laughing and happy. So we may want to keep that in mind when we're doing
it. But we are smiling because we are so grumpy.
You kids, get off my lawn.
We have gone past that level. We've gone to a new level of grumpiness that we have gone circle.
Grumpy
no, the thing is, I think people miss the point of the show. The point here is that we make you grumpy.
From some of the comments in my recent YouTube videos, I absolutely make people grumpy, and I am happy. I am proud to own that one. So yes,
there you go.
Right. So the grumpiness this week is something that came up looking at a few. I was just randomly going through YouTube, just watching some videos for some background stuff while I was doing some other work. And I heard of something that is most disturbing and got my blood boiling because of the initially perceived irrelevance to us in the simulation community, but it actually has an important relevance to us for the future. Now, what I'm talking about is the veritable shit show that has been Ubisoft and their handling of the closure of the crew. Now, I understand that most likely most of you watching and listening to this probably don't play The Crew, but you most likely know somebody who does. The Crew, TLDR, was Ubisoft's version of Need for Speed. It was a racing shooting, I think it was shooting, but it was mostly like a racing car online game. Now, it had a huge customer base. It's an older game, absolutely. Yeah, it is an older game. But it's a game that involves that it's an online service game, which for us as a simulation community is something that we have only recently started moving to. And yes, Microsoft and Asobo, I am 100% looking at you. So the move for our genre of simulation gaming, particularly flight simulation, moving to a online services model, this is why this closure of the crew servers and what Ubisoft has done in the aftermath actually gives us relevance here. So what they did is they announced late last year that they were closing down the online service component. That's fine. You know, games get old. All three of us have talked about at various points in various different forums that games age. They get old, they get less support, and, you know, how many times have we seen in forums people complaining about, oh, nobody releases anything for FSX anymore?
I wonder why.
Yeah. So
I don't know. I got somebody this morning on Facebook asking me where they can find, what was it, Steve's DX10 fixer. Because they saw something I posted back in like 2017.
Well, if we are going to be honest about it, you know, if you think about it, back in the old golden age of FSX, there were guys developing for Microsoft Flight Simulator 2000, 2002. So there was a lot of stuff going for the older sims. And, times change, guys.
And to be fair, and this is part of the conversation that we're getting into today, is to be fair, how many people still play FSX? How many people still fly in FS9? Like, there is still, from the Navigraph survey, there are people who are still flying FS9 because that's the sim that works for them. And, you know, all power to those people. And it is great that our extended flight simulation family have that option available to them. To actually enable us to be able to keep playing all these older sims. So this is why we're talking about online services. So with the crew, what Ubisoft has done is they said that they're shutting down the live service component. Okay, fine. Older game, no worries, any support, because servers cost money. Sergio, as an IT professional, you are absolutely very well aware of that servers cost money.
Oh, yes, I am, yeah.
So shutting them down, no problem at all. It's what Ubisoft have done this month that's really got me angry and giving me PTSD flashbacks to 2012, 2012/2014. So what Ubisoft have done is that they are reaching in to people's games libraries in their Ubisoft accounts and they are deleting the game.
Wait, back up. So they got rid of the online component, and now they are actually going into your, what is it? I'm looking at my desktop here, the Ubisoft Connect or whatever, and yep, actually wiping it out from Ubisoft Connect? You got to be kidding.
Nope. Wow. It's gone.
What the heck is going on with Ubisoft? I swear, everything I've heard has been controversy with Ubisoft for the last month. They've got a new Star Wars game coming out. what is it? Outlaws or something like that?
Which, at first pass,
and that's
cool.
Already got controversy. It hasn't even come out yet.
That's a separate... That's another great topic that we are totally going to get into, by the way, folks, and for viewers at home. Anyway, so... But yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what Ubisoft are doing. Ubisoft are reaching in, and they are wiping it from your account, and it's gone. So if you bought the crew, if you've played it, and you paid 60, 70, 80... I don't even know how much it was, but, you know, I'm going to guess AAA title, I'm going to guess it probably would have been around about 80 bucks. You know, 80 bucks. It's gone. Now, yes, we know that there are games that we pay. Like, I don't even want to think about how much money I spent on add-ons for FSX and Prepared that I literally never even flew. But they're still there for me. I still have the installers. I can still install them. I can still reinstall FSX. I can still reinstall Prepared. And I can install those aircraft, those sceneries, and I can still fly them because they are in a playable state that I can use. What Ubisoft is doing...
Standalone playable states.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Standalone playable state. But Ubisoft, what Ubisoft are doing, is it theft? That's a question. Is it theft? Because, yes...
Is it really
okay.
theft, or is it more like Indian giving? Because who owns it? At the end of the day, is that what they're trying to flex on here?
Well, the CEO has been in the shit lately because of a statement that he made where he said, literally, gamers have to get used to not owning games.
Hmm. Okay.
Hmm. That's a really a gray area. It's always been a gray area, I think, at least for me. Because in the end, for most games, for most software, actually, I'm not defending Ubisoft, and you guys know that I usually play devil's advocate here.
Yeah.
But the truth is, and you guys know, I know you know this as well, we are granted a license to use the software. We don't actually own that copy of the software.
Yeah.
But like Drew said, are they flexing on this? Are they flexing on the fact that, you know, people don't actually use the software? What does the EULA say?
Yeah.
What does the law say? Because the law depends on countries as well. So
and
it's I know it's morally, I think, like you said, Tristan, it's a shit show.
Yeah.
Right? From the moral side, I think it's a shit show. One thing that I said a bit earlier today when you were talking about the fact that FXX and other games are in a playable state, they are in the standalone playable state, meaning that they don't need any servers, any online components to work.
Yep.
Although one of the latest updates with for FSX brought the ability to play online using Steam, for example. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, these games are playable because they don't depend on an infrastructure.
Yep.
They removed the ability to play multiplayer using the crew. But from what I know, and I also don't know the crew, but from my understanding, from what I read, it seems like there was the ability to still play the standalone game.
Yep. And that's just it. And that's kind of where for us as flight simmers, especially, you picked on a great point there, is that it's the standalone part. Is that yes, the crew could still be played as just a single player. It hadn't always online. You had to be online to play the single player. But because it has that always online, and they didn't patch it out, and now they like it would have been a different story if they'd gone, you know what, we're closing down the online services component, but here's a final patch that removes that requirement for you to be always online for you to play the single player. Even if they did, ideally it would have been a case of, hey, here's a patch that removes the thing where you always have to be online with Ubisoft servers, but you can create your own server and go nuts.
Right, peer-to-peer.
Yeah, peer-to-peer. That's fine. And that's, remember when FSX added added its multiplayer, but it had to be done through GameSpy. And then GameSpy shit itself.
Exactly.
And then it was like, oh, well, here's a patch that allows you to host your own servers. So you can bypass the GameSpy. Like, that's a good sign. So, but what...
That's a smart move towards the community, right? That's an intelligent move. And it shows that, we care about the community. What you were saying is exactly what I was thinking, Tristan. Patch the game, even release the tools so people can
just release the dev tools to be able to say, hey, if you want to do this, you can. But if you don't want to, if you just want to go, I had my fun with it and I don't care, that's fine. Just uninstall it out of your goddamn library. Like, data lake storage, cloud data storage doesn't cost a lot. Like, particularly if it's cold storage, which a game like this would probably be moved to, you might have, initially after closure, you'll have a spike of people for nostalgia reasons wanting to download it. But after about probably a year, it's going to be, one user a month is probably going to download it. So what's the problem with that? Now, and I referred earlier to the PTSD flashbacks to 2012 and 2014 for myself, because a lot, I talked to a couple of people who sort of said, oh, well, it's not going to happen to the flight simulation community. I'm like, it already has. It's already happened to us.
Yeah, I know where you're going on that one.
Yeah, it is. It
we
is,
all do.
Anybody who knows me knows how much I am a passionate fighter for the memory of the most of the forgotten cousin of the Microsoft Flight Simulator franchise, Microsoft Flight. It was the shortest lived title of the entire series, of it only being available to the world for, I think it was 6 months. Because it was launched in January or February 2012, and then they pulled support for it in August. They said, it's dead. We're killing it. But at the time, I'm going to not talk about how it was badly screwed over by marketing and leadership and not as it, because it was actually a really good sim. Moving on. What they did is they said, okay, we're pulling it. It's not available. But hey, if you have played it prior to the cutoff date, which was, I think it was August. If you've played it prior to the fight, because it was a free title, if you've played it prior to that date, you can still access it. It'll still be in your games library. You can still access it. You can still download it. And you can keep playing it. We'll leave the server running. Like, they literally left a single server running, but they left it running because it was a online services game. It was the first time I can recall that we'd ever had a flight simulation game actually be an online services game. So that was fine. For those of us who enjoyed flight, who flew it, who owned the content for it and saw the potential that it had that was sadly squandered, we loved it. I was in part of a community, MSFlights.net. We had regular group flights well into 2014 or 2015, whenever they sent a final notice out saying, hey, it's been however many years since we killed the game. We are now officially turning the servers off. Like, it is, we're done. So we all did a final group flight together on the day they turned the servers off and the server got turned off. But it was still in a playable state where we could play offline. We didn't get to see any of the error caches. We didn't get to fly with anybody else, but we could still fly it. We could still fly in it. And that was fine. And you could use like the hacky sort of join like FS, what was that?
Join FS,
FS Cloud. Hack it. You could mangle the code to allow you to do it that way. But then about a year or so later, I'd got a new computer and I went to reinstall it. I downloaded the content. I fired it up. But I couldn't fly because what they hadn't told us was that, yes, they left it in a playable state. Yes, they left it so you could play it offline. But on install, it needed a handshake with an activation server to confirm all your content.
Which no longer existed.
Right.
Literally, the server doesn't exist anymore, the activation. And it was funny because I phoned Microsoft support. So for anybody out there who's, especially if you're not IT, and anybody who's in IT will know exactly the experience that I'm about to describe of calling Microsoft IT support, like a Microsoft tech support. Sergio, how would you describe it? I have some choice words that probably would get us banned from YouTube.
How can one start to describe it? Anachronic is a word.
So,
a very mild one.
Yeah. So anyway, so I literally phoned Microsoft support and went, hey, here's my product key. I'm in Games for Windows Live. It's installed, but I can't activate it. Can you do the activation for me? And they're like, okay, yeah, no worries. What's your product? What's the key? You know, they authenticated me correctly and all the rest of it. And they went, oh, this product doesn't exist for Microsoft Flight Simulator X. I'm like, it's not for Microsoft Flight Simulator X. It's for Microsoft Flight. And they've gone, but that's not Microsoft Flight Simulator. Literally, they went, you mean Flight Simulator X? No. Microsoft Flight.
It never existed.
A different like literally Microsoft erased it from their own tech support. Like literally they just completely erased it. It completely ceased to exist. So
I bet one day Will Smith went into tech support with this small pen in his hand
thing.
And we're like flash and there you go.
Yep. Flight never existed.
Totally what happened.
It's so that's the thing is that this has already happened to the flight simulation community. Now, admittedly, Flight, because of the controversy that surrounded its creation, its launch, and everything that followed afterwards, it didn't have as big a player base and it probably doesn't. And it definitely hasn't survived in the memory of many simmers. So they probably aren't really aware of the fact that this has already happened to us. It is literally no longer in my Games for Windows Live store. So if I go into my Microsoft Xbox Games, it's called now, I can see the achievements for it, but I can't access the product page. I can't download the content at all.
Hmm.
Now,
are you sure this is not a result of the Mandela effect? Like, did it ever exist at all, Tristan?
Are it's you the okay? Berenstain Bears, man. It's the Berenstain Bears.
Are you okay, Tristan? Have you ever heard of Microsoft Flight? I have no idea.
That's horrific because I feel betrayed in this one. Anyway, so but this is the thing. It's happened to us already. Like, it has already happened to this community. What's to say it's not going to happen again? Now, at the moment, and correct me if I'm wrong here, actually, no, it already has the potential to happen because, you know, I was about to say Microsoft Flight Simulator is the only one currently that has a live service component, but it's not.
No, it's not. DCS. X-Plane also has it, and it has.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because.
And X-Plane has authentication servers.
Right. So as long as, you know, yes, DCS and X-Plane can run offline, but it still has to have that handshake authentication. Like, I've.
Yeah.
So Mr. Boomflower here was very upset at me because I uninstalled DCS last week.
Yeah, you better play that table flip GIF because I'm still flipping that table, man.
I needed the hard drive space. But literally, there are three products on there I can't fly because it won't authenticate my validated purchase that I have a receipt for. I literally can't fly the, I think, mind you, I think they're part of the FC3 pack, I think they were. It's the F-15, the SU-33, and something else. Can't remember what.
Probably either the A-10A or what the hell else, Cameron? The SU-25A.
So I'm like, you know.
Or the Fulcrum.
Admittedly, I didn't fly it a lot. The airplane that I flew the most in DCS is the L-39 because it's the only one I can remember how to start.
It's a cool bird, though. But, people sleep on the L-39. Yeah,
but like literally, like there are three things that I've paid for that I can't use, even though I have a receipt. And then, as you said, Sergio, you know, X-Plane has got the online activation server. Microsoft Flight Simulator is the only one that has the full sort of live service umbrella. Which, of course, you know, leads into the question of what happens after the release of 2024. You know, when are they going to turn it off? Yada, yada, yada. But this is why what happened to the crew, what Ubisoft has done to the crew is of interest to us as a simulation community. We have to know about this. We have to help the rest of the gaming community do something about it.
So what can we do about it?
Well, I think it's mostly a matter of raising awareness with the community and campaign with companies, because ultimately the only ones that can actually do something about it are the companies behind the games.
Yep.
What you said about Microsoft Flight Simulator has been a concern from day one, on every single Facebook group or other community platform that I'm part of. Mm. Everyone asked the same, and some of the guys actually mentioned flight, which is what happens once. Here's the thing: we have people may say we do have reasons to suspect, to be suspicious about the Microsoft team, because again, it's Microsoft, it's evil.
Microsoft.
We all remember FSX, basically, is what it boils down to.
Well, yeah. But here's the thing, you know, the team that's behind Microsoft Flight Simulator, Jorg and Sebastian and everyone else, I do believe that they have good intentions. And they want to honor this commitment with the community. And, you know, get the sim to work for years to come, et cetera, but the thing is, and we all know it's not just up to them.
But the team behind Flight was the same. They had the best of intentions. They worked hard for it, but they were screwed over by execs that were driven by the bottom
Aces
line.
Teams. Yeah. Yep. I remember the Aces team.
The team, like literally, because of the perceived failure of Microsoft Flight and its piss poor handling, they canned Microsoft Flight Simulator 11. That was well under development. Flight was basically a technology testbed for them to try testing things that they were messing with to introduce with FS11.
Yeah. So it's up to the companies, and very, very usual, very normally, it's not up to the teams to do something about it.
Yep.
But the community needs to start pressing companies to have plans for discontinued software.
Yep.
Because they will hide behind legal teams, mm-hmm. and they will tell us, okay, you have paid €60 or $60 or $120 or whatever, yep. for a license to use the software, which is not perpetual, right? And we have the right to terminate the service whenever we want to terminate the service.
Folks, by the way, make sure, just for shits and giggles at some point, read one of the EULAs that everybody just ticks and agrees to. Actually, read them. They are fascinating. They are absolutely fascinating to actually read.
Especially the termination clauses.
The termination clauses? Yeah. Fun part, you can terminate it too. Like, it's not just them having to terminate. There are clauses in there where you can actually get back at them. They're very difficult to find, but they're there. But Sergi, you make a really good point. And harking back to what you said before, it's about us talking to companies. It's about us. And quite frankly, I think it is part of this is Ubisoft making a bit of a flex on that EULA, on them basically saying, there's nothing that can prevent us. And the sad reality is that right now there's not. But that's where there is a potential faint glimmer of hope. So there has been some action taken by the crew. Not even the crew community. Like I'm not even sure if this guy actually plays the crew. There's a campaign started by Ross Scott, who's a game developer himself. We basically heard of this and went, this is not okay. The games industry, the gaming community as a whole, deserve better. So they've launched a campaign, a global campaign called Stop Killing Games. Their website is stopkillinggames.com. The link will be in the description down below. The idea of this is incredibly ambitious because they've basically, Ross has actually realized that fundamentally, to Sergio's point earlier, this is a legal gray area. Nobody's ever tested this before. Nobody's ever really tested the whole, hey, big scary software company has just taken my stuff away or they've discontinued a service. I can't really do anything about it because I agreed to the EULA of it. But what makes this different this time is where Ubisoft is headquartered. Ubisoft is headquartered in France. And France and Australia, funny story, France and Australia have two of the most stringent consumer protection laws in the world. Random side fact, did you know for everybody who's ever refunded a game on Steam, you have to thank Australia for that? Random fact. I'm getting a bit of a squirrel moment here, so Joe, you can blame me for going off topic this time. Somebody said, hey, this game I bought off Steam isn't doing what it says on the tin. I want a refund. Steam said, no. So this guy went to the Australian Consumer and Competition Commission, which is the protection body in Australia, and basically said, hey, this product doesn't do what it says on the tin. Therefore, I want a refund. They said no. And the ACCC basically went, oh no, you're giving him a refund. And there was a huge legal battle, which Valve lost.
Wow. That's a David and Goliath story right there.
Yeah. And literally Valve just basically went, because initially the ruling was you have to implement a returns policy, a refund and returns policy for Australia was the ruling. And Steam just went, Valve just went, you know what? We're just going to make it global and be done with it.
Yeah, because they were going to have problems in other regions as well. For example, Europe, the EU is very strict. It's not just France, you know. Mm-hmm. France does have a lot of strict rules, but a lot of them are actually EU rules. Mm-hmm. We have very tough, very heavy, very strict consumer protection laws. Mm-hmm. I was saying this is about another game, but it's still relevant to flight simulation because we're talking about software and software licensing. Yep. We're talking about the other day I was seeing some a discussion regarding Star Citizen and the Pledge Store, which, you know, the company says that you're not buying a product, you're making a pledge. Yeah, but the thing is, when I make a pledge, I pay VAT, so I'm buying a product or a service. Right? It is considered a product or a service under the European Union law. So it's not just, it's not a pledge,
that becomes a service as soon as VAT slapped on that's a service.
Exactly. So they can't discard it because you are buying a product or a service, right? And so if someone in Europe knew what was going on with in Australia, with the Australian guy, I'm sure Valve would have yet another battle in Europe. Yeah.
So basically, folks, so this is why, especially Australia and France, because it's the company's headquartered in France, which means that they can't hide behind we're American, so we do things the American way, which most companies do. The fact is, because they're headquartered in France, your EU and French and EU law applies. So Ross at StopKillingGames.com has started a campaign in multiple countries around the world, specifically for owners of the crew, but anybody who owns or has been affected by this in any way, they've got a list of, and they've done all the research for us as a community. We as a community just need to click links and fill in forms to basically say, yes, you know, especially if you own the crew or if you have a family member or a friend or a Discord colleague or a random extended, you know, person that you haven't talked to for 5 years. If you know they played the crew, get in touch with them and campaign this. Speak to your local member of parliament. So far, I reached out to Ross and I got an update from him a couple of days ago about where everything is at. And basically, they are on track to have this, because his ideal is that he just wants it clear, going back to what Sergio, what you were saying, he just wants it clearly laid out in law what the consequence is when a company basically says, we're done with this software. Because at the moment, a lot of his reactions when he first made inquiries to the German and the French Parliament and the UK Parliament and the Australian Parliament was basically like, we don't know. There is no law that, yes, because basically the license says this, but we don't really know if that applies because nobody's ever tried to challenge it. So this is the chance for the wider gaming community to actually challenge it and at least get a straight answer. So we know, do we own the game that we bought? And do we have a right to be able to install it and play it whenever we so desire? Or is it going to be like what the CEO of Ubisoft has said, that we don't actually own anything and we need to get used to that? That's a horrific thought for me, but you know, but at the end of the day, Ross just wants a clear guidance of saying, which is it? Like, what is it? Or is it a combination of the two? But folks,
that's the kind of thing that would have a lot of flight sim developers paying attention. I'm sure, you know, Microsoft being in the US, I'm sure they'll just do whatever the heck they want. But I'm thinking more along the lines of like Eagle Dynamics. Aren't they based in Switzerland, if I recall correctly?
Yeah. And
now, does Switzerland still fall under the EU? Nope. Or are they like
No.
Swiss are independent. They're a tax haven.
Okay. I should have remembered.
Well, let me just add something to the information that you were giving, Drew. Microsoft is an American company.
But it's headquartered in Ireland.
When I purchase things to Microsoft, I am purchasing to an Irish Microsoft, not the US Microsoft.
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep. Because Ireland's a tax haven.
Exactly.
And also, and the thing is that...
Same with Google. Whenever
Apple. Loopholes within loopholes.
Yep, loopholes within loopholes. And And we've proven.
Who pays me? I'm sorry, Jason. Who pays me? Just, you know, this is just a fun fact, but who pays me the millions I receive for the ads on the iOS website?
Yeah.
Google Ireland. Is
Google Ireland as well. So yep. These companies are global companies and they have offices in those regional areas. So even if the company, if the main headquarters is in the US, I am still dealing with a company that is inside the European Union.
I deal with Google Singapore. That's where my billions of dollars from ad revenue get transferred to me from.
You can afford all the Jesus nuts. You bring them all to Vegas.
So folks, this is why it's, and the fact is that the European, especially because it's in Europe, the EU has already proven that they're willing to take on the big guns. They took on Apple and won. They took on Apple over the proprietary charger, and they took on Apple over the forced obsolescence of your iPhone, because how they would push out software updates that crippled the battery life of your older iPhone. When they got caught red-handed with that, the EU went, you ain't doing that to our citizens' phones. And they got fined. And have to now be monitored to make sure they're not doing it again. So everybody knew that they did it for years, but when they could prove it. So this is why, folks, watching at home, and I know we're getting this a roundabout way, go to stopkillinggames.com. Check out the action that you can take. From what Ross has said to me, the best avenue so far is France. Germany, a member of the German parliament, has actually picked up this cause and is actually like, no, I'm bringing this to the Reichstag. Like, we are going to talk about this because this needs to be done. In the UK, they need signatures to be able to, because if you get a certain number of signatures, an issue has to be brought to the House of Commons. In France, it's much the same. It goes, once you get a certain number of people have complained about a certain product, it shoots up the chain of priority of their consumer protection organization. The Australian ACCC has basically turned around and said, that's not on, but we need a critical level of people to reach out to us. Get in touch with them. But in Australia as well, they've had a legal team basically go, hey, if you can prove that you own it, we may be able to do a class action lawsuit against them to get your money back at least.
That would be fair enough.
And the sad reality is, and the same thing is happening in Brazil. Apparently Brazil, they're looking like they're about to launch a class action lawsuit against Ubisoft. And the sad reality is that until these companies get hit in the hip pocket, they won't change.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Very but true. Once a big enough company gets made an example of, everybody else falls in line. So this is why, folks, although The Crew may not be the simulation gaming experience that we regularly talk about here, this is why I'm angry. This is because how dare a game company, a game publisher, how dare they think that they can reach into my computer and take away a game? The reality is, it's already happened to me once before. I never want to see it happen again. And as I said, like, this is a chance where over 12 million people were playing this game. Wow. So just think about that. If 12 million people as a player base, as a regular player base, isn't big enough to keep an older title going, what sort of chance do you think we as a flight simulation family and extended community have of keeping our stuff going when they go to full live service? This is why we need to get on board, folks. So please, if you own The Crew, if you know somebody who, if your grandmother owned The Crew or your grandchild or your niece's cousin five times removed, get in touch with them. Ask your friends, ask your social media. If they have ever had any interest, even if they played it for 2 minutes and then uninstalled it, get them on board and go and check out stopkillinggames.com to check out the work that Ross is doing, because this is something that, while it may not have affected the vast majority of the simulation team yet, it's coming. And we need to be part of we need to make sure that our voices are heard for the future. All right, that's it. That's my rant over. Closing thoughts from my two fellow Grumpy Sims. I said, I'm angry.
No, I think you got a valid point there, because honestly, we really don't know what could happen. And ever since, just using Microsoft Flight Simulator as the example, ever since that was first announced back in 2019 and subsequently, we still hear a good chunk of people out there that, you know, are still a little bit hesitant about the whole Microsoft Flight Simulator title because they are afraid of what's going to happen to like Flight or to FSX and so on and so forth. They don't want to see us get into that kind of a situation again. So yeah, what you're saying does make sense. It might not be the exact type of game that, you know, a lot of us are used to or whatever, but it's got ramifications down the road. Yep. It's kind of like, you know, putting a bit of a safety net in there for us as a gaming community in general. So yeah, I would support that.
Yep.
Yeah. And here's the thing, and for those that, you know, understand what we are saying, that we want to prevent this for the future. It's not just a matter of preventing by taking action then. If you, like Tristan was saying, if you play the crew or you have a friend that play the crew, you need to take action now because, like Drew said, we need a safety net. And that safety net, in legal terms, it's called precedent.
Yep.
We need precedent now.
Yep. There has to be a precedent for it.
Yeah. What's happening with the crew, if the community wins this, and forces Ubisoft to come up with a solution.
Yep.
If something happens in the future to a sim, there's a precedent.
Yep.
There's already something that was done to protect us consumers in the past that will be used as an example for the judges, the legal people working. Yeah. For them to pick up and, you know, and use it as a way to make things right for the community in the future. So please, guys. I haven't played the crew. If I had played the crew, I would be all over this on board. I am going to ask my friends if they play the crew. I know perhaps one or two guys that I know I love racing games and they probably play it. I'm going to talk to them because we need to make this happen for everyone in the gaming community, including the flight simulation gaming community. It is flight simulation game.
After all. And absolutely
wonder if we could get this to be the precedent to prevent Microsoft and Windows from bricking the Reverb G2 down the road.
I mean, that's just part of it. It has to be left in a, if you discontinue support, no worries.
That's another great example, Drew. You just hit it in the nail. We have something happening right now. I didn't even remember that. That's a good one.
So there you go. It actually
I'm reminded
genuinely does.
Every time I put this thing on. I just put a $30 pre-order on the new Pimax Crystal Light today. Ultimately, it's going to be like $700-$800 that right now I don't really have, but I'm that terrified that this thing's going to end up being a brick at some point in time that I want to at least make sure I have this thing in reserve.
Yeah. And that's just it. This is where tangentially and Sergio, as you said, classic. That's the important thing that I couldn't think of is that there needs to be a precedent. There needs to be something that people can point to and go, this is how it should be handled. You know, and I think of all the other games where there have been positive precedents, like when Sierra Studios basically died. A bunch of their games were released as DRM free. As is, like no support, we're done, but here it is, DRM free, go nuts. And the community rallied around to actually be able to go, let's bring them online. Various games that avoided when the whole thing we alluded to again before, when the GameSpy activation servers or GameSpy multiplayer servers and whatever shut down, because so many games used their API to do multiplayer, that even if you wanted to host your own server, it needed to authenticate with GameSpy before it would let you then put your own server details in. Once the authentication server was gone, all this stuff was gone. So the community had to come out with patches and go, how do we get around it? So this is why, folks, it is incredibly important that we get behind a campaign like this, that spread the word. I've spread it to a lot of my friends and fellow content creators who didn't know about this program, who play games, who played The Crew and didn't know about this campaign and thought they were powerless because they logged in one day and went, huh, like, I don't think they even had it installed, but they're like, I seem to have one less game in my Ubisoft library now. I wonder what happened, and went, oh my God, my game is gone. Like, it's as you said before, Sergio, at the start of this video, like, is it morally wrong? Yes. Is it legally wrong? That's what we need to find out. That's what we need to find out. So that is probably the most grumpiest episode of the three grumpy swimmers I think we've had in a hot minute.
The year is still early. It's only April.
So, folks, thanks very much. I want to say that is going to round out three Grumpy Simmers episode for this week. Thank you very much for joining us. I want to say a huge thank you to Sergio from HaleySimmer.com for joining us, taking the time out of his busy schedule as the Don of the Helicopter Mafia.
Thank you very much. Thank you for watching, guys. See you next video.
And Drew, thank you so much for taking the time out of your adventures in places far flung and worlds mysterious.
Well, I don't know. Would you consider Bora Bora mysterious? Because I pretty much just spent the entire day trying to fly that Dornier DO-31 in VTOL around Bora Bora. And let me tell you, yeah.
Make sure you check it
out. Clearly more work is needed. More work is needed.
There was a lot of work done to make that video. So make sure you go give it a like and shout out. So folks, don't forget to head over to helisimmer.com to check out for all of your latest helicopter simulation news and goings on. And head over to HeliSimmer's channel to give it a like and subscribe. And for some adventures, both in aviation and on the high seas of swashbuckling adventure, head over to Belgio's channel and give it a like and subscribe. And since you're here, maybe give this channel a bit of a like and subscribe and hit that bell. That'd be awesome. All right, folks. Thanks very much for watching. Take care. Safe skies to all. Be amazing humans. And we will see you on the next grumpy episode of the Three Grumpy Simmers. Bye for now.